up? You are listening to a brand new episode of the Lunchbox Chats. I'm your host, I'm Laura, and I welcome you to a brand new mini episode. I am riding solo this week. My co-host and cousin, Esty, is under the weather, so I am posting this mini episode. I actually recorded, me and Esty had recorded episodes separately, like mini episodes to launch a while back, but I decided to actually just record a brand new one because I had an idea. So it was Mother's Day yesterday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas, all the fur mamas, all the people who mother, just, you know, any kind of title of mama you wear. I feel like we're all, literally everyone, even like he, she, they, them, like we're all mothers in some sort of way, right? We're all fathers in our own way. So I had this idea. So happy Mother's Day to everyone. But I had this idea to kind of do this like little mini episodes on the different ways we could be mothering ourselves if we are not mothering ourselves. So I wanted to kind of take a minute to just one, acknowledge all the mamas out there, especially my mama. I mean, she's just, my mom is probably one of the funniest human beings that I know. And definitely over the years, we have become more friends than mother-daughter. And if it is mother-daughter, I feel like I'm her mother and she's my daughter as I get older, especially. But shout out to my mama. Mom, if you're listening, which the only way you'll be listening is if I turn this on for you because you have no idea how to access it, know that I love you. Happy Mother's Day. I feel like every day I try and celebrate you, but thank you for everything because literally without you, I would not be existing. And happy Mama's Day to all the women in my family. It's kind of crazy when like you think of like your ancestors and like where you came from and you know who you're surrounded with and how we all chose, especially women. I feel like the bloodline, I don't know, it's just like closer with women. I don't know, maybe that's just like a personal thing, but I think because we kind of like all share in that commonality, we just all get each other. And I will say all of the women in my family on both sides, they are some of the strongest people that I know. And yes, they can be hard-headed and they can be loud and they can be, you know, just passionate Italian women from time to time. And sometimes it's like, what the fuck? Like, I can be like that too, right? But at the end of the day, when I think of it and I really think of the line of women that I come from on both sides, like when I think back to even my grandmothers, it's like, holy shit, like what a bloodline, like what an amazing bloodline of women I come from. And I will say, I think it's so cool in my family, especially obviously we have just in the world collectively, we've had the Me Too movement and we've really had like women kind of standing at the forefront of our rights and, you know, breaking these glass ceilings. But I have to say, as a little girl, I never felt any kind of inferiority to men or to boys. I never felt like I was less than. And one, I think it's because I grew up with a dad who was always like, you know, you're just as good, if not better. You know, there was never this like, oh, you're a girl, like you should do these kinds of things. But I think it was because I grew up in a family where the women just didn't take shit and they were independent. And there's so many entrepreneurial women in my family who, I come from a family of immigrants. So I'm first generation Italian American. And, you know, my mom and my aunts and my grandmas, they they were born in Italy, so they came to this country not knowing a language. Not only did they survive, they thrived, they bought businesses, they became bosses, they created careers, they bought houses, they really lived out this American dream. And while, yes, they had their men counterparts helping them along the way, there is just this ferocious, fierce energy of the women in my family who it's like, it didn't matter. Like, you knew, like, it didn't matter at the end of the day if the men were there or not. Like, they were going to get their shit done and they were going to get it done to the best of their ability. And there's something about growing up around this energy that just empowers you, especially as like a little girl, just watching all these women just get their shit done. They are their bosses, their mothers, like they work like 14-hour days. They come home, they cook, they take care of their children, they take care of their household. The resilience and the tenacity that the women in my family, is it tenacity? Is that a word? This is where I need Essie. Like, Essie, I'm actually going to Google search it because I want to, like, use the right word, you guys. Tenacity. What does it mean? Yes. Tenacity is a quality displayed by someone who just won't quit. Yes, that is exactly the women in my family. Please excuse me. Like, I had a few glasses of wine yesterday and I'm a little hungover, so. But anyway, going back, like, there's something about being surrounded by this kind of woman growing up that I feel just by watching them and having being led by this example, it's almost like you become it. Like, I watched my sister, especially, like, she broke. Maria, if you're listening, hello, how are you? For me, my sister broke a lot, if not all, of the glass ceilings in my family. And so basically she was the first one to go to college. She was the first woman to go to college. She owned her own business at 26. Like, she did like all of these things. She like really fought to not become, or I don't know if she fought, but like she really chose this life. She was married. She was the first one to get divorced in my family. And I know, like, you're like, Laura, why are you so proud of that? Like, I'm proud of it because coming from a very traditional Italian family, like, you never get divorced. Doesn't matter what happens, your husband cheats on you, like, you kind of slip it under the rug, especially back in the 1990s. Like, divorce was unfucking heard of. And here's this, like, child, basically this young girl saying like, no, like, I deserve better. And it's like she kind of forged away from something in these days that's normal, you know, like your marriage is not working, you move on. But back in the 1990s, like, that's not what was so she's like, fuck this, like, I'm gonna choose me. She chose herself, she got divorced, she went to college, she got a teaching degree, then she's like, fuck the teaching degree, I'm gonna go open up my own business. A lot of shit happened there with a lot of men that one day she will come on this podcast and tell her story. But, like, you know, she kind of just, like, thrived through it and kind of just, like, pushed through it. Oh, there's probably another woman in my family calling because we like to chat. So kind of just, like, growing up in, like, this family and watching my sister and having her kind of break all these rules and break what, you know, the traditional nice Italian girl is supposed to be, that did something for me. And it kind of like set this path for me. And like, you know, it definitely set this path like for other people. And just in general, like watching the older generation of women just like go forth and, you know, be these strong, independent women, it definitely instilled values in me. I know it definitely has instilled values in Essie as well. Can't speak for her, but I just know generally like it did. And it's really as fucked up. We always say it, like, our family's fucked up, right? Like, nobody's perfect. But it is truly, like, when I really step back and I just look at it, it's a privilege to have been born in this family kind of, listen, was my mother always perfect? No. Were my aunts always perfect? No. But they did the best with what they have, and I will never take that away from them. And I really like honor them and I respect them. And I just give them so much credit. And I feel like I'm gonna cry. So yeah, today I wanna like honor all the women in my family. Happy Mother's Day. I see you, I honor you. You know, I may not talk to you, but like I still have the utmost like love for you inside my heart of hearts because, you know, the years go by, shit happens, drama happens, blah, blah, blah. People have their egos. I have my ego. And it's just like, yeah, shit happens. But at the end of the day, like I still do have love for every single person in my family, especially the women. With that being said, there definitely were ways growing up in which I don't think I was nurtured the way I would have liked to have been nurtured. I didn't even know what that meant, right? Because as a kid, you're kind of just like going through all these motions. And you don't really realize, or at least I didn't realize until I was older, and I'm talking like late 20s, early 30s, when I was like deep into therapy, that I was like, oh wait, there's actually a way, a different way of mothering that I didn't know because I wasn't taught that with my mother. Like my mom like mothered me in her own way. And as I've gotten older, I realized that I need to learn how to mother myself in a different way. And I know it sounds ridiculous. It's like, what do you mean, like, mother yourself? Like, you have a mother, but it's really, you know, kind of just about like, we all need to mother ourselves. Like, how do we provide care for ourselves? How do we support ourselves in kind of the same way a mother would? And it's about really cultivating this, like, deep sense of self-compassion and understanding and acceptance and learning how to emotionally, physically, spiritually meet our own needs. And I really kind of just wanted to bring light to this today and kind of like ask you guys, you know, how are you mothering yourselves? Are you mothering yourselves? Are you kind of using your mothering to bring that shame and that guilt out of yourself, right? I know I'm very familiar with that kind of Italian mom guilt where it's like it's very, very, very present. And that's definitely something that I picked up growing up. And my adult self, literally my adult, the adult mother in me, the way I need to mother myself now is like, no, it's self-compassion and it's self-soothing and it's getting away from that guilt trip that I give myself. So I wanted to really just talk about what it looks like to mother ourselves. And like, you know, kind of just give you some time this week to kind of reflect, like in your day-to-day, like how are you nurturing yourself? How are you showing up for yourself? How are you soothing yourself? You know, are you forgiving yourself? And if you're not, one, like, is that like a learned behavior that you learn growing up? And is that something that you can change? Or what does mothering yourself look like? What does supporting yourself look like? So I just wanted to like name some things, some practices that like you can cultivate to kind of self mother. And I think the first one that me and Essie talk about over and over and over again on this Lunchbox Chats podcast is learning how to set boundaries. I mean, think of it like, you know, a mom having a child and the boundaries like she has to set for that child. And that could be anything from you're going to bed at 9 p.m. to, you know, this person, you're not allowed to speak to this person because they're not good for you. And it's kind of establishing like what kind of boundaries are you setting for yourself? Like, are you overcommitting yourself to things? You know, what kind of influences are you allowing in your life? and kind of really look at your boundary settings. And if you have really blurry boundaries, which I did for basically my entire life, except the last few years where I'm learning as an adult how to set a boundary, that is a sign that you are not mothering yourself in a loving way. Not having boundaries. I remember I had this, I talked about her before in the Lunchbox chats. Her name was Master J, my spiritual advisor. And she's like, you kind of have to look at your entire life like a house. Inside the house is your inner child, and the mother is like outside, right? So let's say this, you know, bad person like comes out in front of the house. What is the mother gonna do? Is she gonna let, you know, and that bad person can look like overcommitting to your work, like burning out. It could look like staying in a relationship for longer than you should and something that's draining you, right? It can show up in different ways in your life. So let's say this person that represents all these things shows up at your front door. And your inner child really doesn't like know the difference. Like they just want to have fun. They want to play. They want to like, you know, just have the best time. Like, but your mother is the one who decides like who comes inside the house. So this person comes in front of your house. Your mother, aka your adult self, is going to have to choose whether to let this influence inside. And I think that's like a really cool way of thinking about of how to set a boundary. It's like your mother standing in the front of your house and she's deciding who's going to come in and play with my children and who's not. And setting healthy boundaries and honoring your needs and your limitations is one of the most important ways that you can show up and mother yourself. Another one is self-care. This is a really, really big one. And I know me and Essier have gotten like really good at it, but I still know so many people who don't create space. Self-care for me looks like space, like just creating the space to give yourself what you need. And what that can look like is taking a bath, going for a walk, practicing meditation. For me, it's journaling, it's reading, whatever way that you fill your tank up again, that is self-care. Sometimes it could look like going to the gym. You know, it could look like going to karaoke, whatever that looks like for you. But it's also allowing yourself the space to even ask that question. So mothering yourself, again, going back to providing that nurturing care for yourself, it's giving yourself the space to be like, what is going to really fill my cup? And then actually giving yourself the time to go out and engage in those activities. So self-care is a really big one. And honestly, guys, sometimes that can look like binge watching Vanderpump Rules, because that is very much self-care. Which, by the way, I will wait for Essie to like go on and talk about, but I watched The Real Housewives of New Jersey episode 1. You guys, my nervous system could not handle it. I watched episode 1 and then it was going into episode 2 and I literally had to stop it. Because I'm just like, I don't think my nervous system can handle this season. Like, it's already fucking unhinged. So I cannot wait to talk about this with Essie. Okay, so a third way that you can self-nurture, really big one, it's self-advocacy. And that means that you're standing up for yourself and your needs. You're advocating for what is best for you. So this is a really big one for me because I don't like confrontation. And it took me a while to distinguish between being confrontational and advocating for what it is that I need. And if you're also in this boat where you're kind of, a people pleaser or you're a recovering people pleaser, you never really like stood up for like what it is that you need, either at work, in your relationship with your family, in financial matters, whatever way this looks for you, I just want you to be able to like, there's a distinction between you being confrontational and you actually just asking for what you want. And every person has the right to request what it is that they want. And there is nothing confrontational about it. There's a way to go about it. There's a way to ask of it. You know, it's not you being aggressive. It's just you have the right to request whatever it is that you want for your life. And don't ever make anyone make you, first of all, gaslight you and make you think like you're wrong for asking for it. And if you do have anybody in your life that is like that, run, don't fucking walk. And you can advocate and be like, go fuck yourself. And two, don't ever feel like you can't ever express what it is that you need, because that is literally your birthright. And I know it might feel awkward at first, especially like if you're very new to this, but listen, and people on the other side have the right to say no, right? And that doesn't mean that they hate you. It doesn't mean that you're bad. It doesn't mean that you're wrong for asking for what you need. It just means that they are responding to your requests. But that should never stop you from asking for what it is that you want and what it is that you need and what it is that you think is best for you. And that is a big, big way of mothering yourself. Because think of moms, right? Like, I know, like, especially, like, my mom, like, if somebody, when I was little, especially, like, if somebody were to, like, if I were to ever need something, be it, like, at a doctor or at school, even though she didn't know the language, she would find either a way to communicate it or someone that would be able to communicate it for me. So think of, you are mothering yourself, you are nurturing yourself, you are loving yourself every time that you stand up for yourself and you advocate your needs. So that is a very, very, very big one. Self-advocacy. Another big one that I'm currently working on, I think this is like one of the hardest for me, is forgiveness. And it's about, at least like for me, it's about, you know, forgiving myself for past mistakes or for shortcomings, something that, you know, I failed to do, or, you know, that I fucked up or I wasn't clear, blah, blah, blah. Forgiveness also looks like letting go of that guilt that I was talking about before, letting go of that self-criticism, and just really being compassionate with ourselves. And I truly believe, for me, for such a long time, it was so, so hard for me to forgive others. And I found that it was because I was so unforgiving of myself. And I'm like such a deep believer that every relationship is literally just a mirror for everything that we hold on the inside against ourselves. And I also believe like relationships are one of the best learning tools for ourselves, because we're literally, all we do is project out onto people things that we can't face about ourselves. And that doesn't make us bad or mean or narcissist or whatever kind of word you want to insert there. It just means that there's healing to do. And usually when there's healing to do, there is forgiving, there's ownership, there's acceptance, and then there's forgiveness of, you know what, I was a little too critical of myself and I need to learn to let this go. I need to learn how to love myself. I need to learn how to support myself. I think forgiveness is one of the hardest things for me personally to do, because I like to be right. I like to be right at the end of the day. I've been admitting that more out loud, like, yeah, you know what? Like, yes. Like, the more I can admit I want to be right, I want to be in control, I want to dominate this situation so I'm not dominated. Like that, all that stuff. I want to look good in front of people. I want to be nice. Once I started owning up to all of my inauthentic ways of being, and I will thank like my husband for that for sure. Like he will call me out on my shit. And he'll be like, sometimes he'll be like, I don't want to like say this because you're gonna get upset. And I'm like, no, just say it. And he'll just like call me out and I'll be like, I won't like it at first. And I'll be like, no. Like I'll instantly be like, no, I'm not like that. But usually more than half the times, like he's correct, and it's something about myself that like I don't want to admit out loud. But I have found that once I started not shaming myself for being controlling or being whatever kind of insert this way here, it was easier one for me to just accept, okay, this is just how I was. This is how I acted, but this isn't how I need to act going forward. And I need to learn how to forgive myself. And once I started to forgive myself, I was able to kind of shift in another direction. And also, the more I'm able to forgive myself, the more I'm able to forgive other people because I realize, you know what, they are just human like I am. Before, like, I couldn't make a mistake. So every time somebody else fucked up or they fell off a pedestal, you guys, I would condemn them. It's like they might as well have walked up to a cross and like nailed themselves because that's what I was doing to them. I was so harsh and like I would hold these crazy grudges. And it's only because that was what I was doing to myself. I was literally like nailing myself on a cross for not being perfect. And you know, sometimes I still do it. Like, I can't say I never do that. Like, hell yeah, like, I still do that. But I do it less. And even if I do it, I become aware of it and I learn how to be like, okay, I just need to like learn how to forgive. And I think my adult mother, the way I mother myself as an adult, it's the forgiving mother. And that is definitely something very new to me because this is something I was not taught in childhood. This is not, my mother forgives in a different way. And my mother's a Libra at the end of the day. And like, she's very, I want to say like intellectual about her emotions versus me. I'm a deep feeler. Like I need to process it through my body. I like have to cry. I have to feel my feelings versus my mom is not one to feel her feelings. So as I was growing up, that's how I learned to deal with my feelings, to intellectualize them. But as an adult, I realized that's not healthy for me. That's not what I need. It might be what she needs and how she processes, but my way of processing is completely different. So I had to learn this new way of mothering myself. And a big thing that I do is truly leaning into forgiveness, even when I don't want to forgive. Even, okay, so if like I don't want to forgive, I kind of just tell myself, okay, I'm not there yet. But the goal, the purpose is always forgiveness, compassion, and peace for me. I feel like those are my big three. That's the mother in me. That's how I need to be nurtured. That's how I need to support myself. I need to be compassionate, I need to be forgiving, and I need to be peaceful. And when I am all those three things, I feel emotionally safe. So let's see. So one last one. I think that's really big. That's, you know, a really important sign of mothering yourself. It kind of goes hand in hand with forgiveness. It's gentleness. And what that means, it's literally just being like gentle and tender and soft. I say, like, I'm in my soft girl era. I'm learning how to be soft because in this family of like independent, resilient women, they're like these lionesses, and they're just like forging forward, and like they have all this strength and this resiliency, and they're charging and they're going, and there's power. And what I never really learned was that I can be soft, and that still means that I have strength. Because at the end of the day, like, I'm very, even though I don't know how many people would attest to this, but this is like how I feel inside, because I might be projecting another version of myself, but like on the inside, I am very soft and I am very sensitive. And I think I don't put that part forward because there's a lot of vulnerability there for me. But I think a big part of mothering, for me especially, is learning how to bring that softness out and how to be tender. And I think a part of being gentle with yourselves and mothering yourselves through the lens of gentleness, it's really like recognizing your worth and your how deserving you are of love and care. And I think when I think of mother, I think of like a woman who's just like hugging you and loving you and kissing you, and she's just like very soft and gentle, and she can like, oh, you can always go to her, and like she'll, it's kind of, I don't know if you guys watch it, I'm like obsessed. Essie thinks I'm nuts for it, but there's this show on YouTube that I think now is about like 20 something years old, but it just came back because Instagram went crazy with the memes. It's called Nanalan or Nanalan. And it's about this grandma, they're puppets. It's about this grandma and her cutie little green granddaughter, Mona. And so when I think of mother, I think of the grandma. And if you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, go on YouTube, type in Nanalan, Nanalan. And there's this grandma archetype, and she's like the ultimate mother to me, because no matter like what Mona does, like Mona's just like in her own like little world, and the grandma just acknowledges her and is gentle with her and just loves her at the end of the day. And I know you're like, Laura, why are you watching a show that's made for like 5-year-olds? And it's because I'm learning how to mother myself, you guys. But I don't know, I feel like she's like a great archetype for gentleness and like what that shows up as in mothering ourselves. So I think this was like a really cool thought in my head, and I'm glad that like it translated into this podcast. I hope you guys got something out from it, and you know, if you're listening, just kind of reflect, like, how are you mothering yourselves? How do you mother others? Even if you're not a mother, like you haven't birthed a baby, you're still mothering in your everyday life, right? You like you mother, you nurture your relationships. You can even nurture your plants. Like we're always doing some form of mothering. So I think it's always, especially like Mother's Day, Father's Day, to kind of see like how are you mothering? You guys, that's all I got for you today. Next week, me and Essie will be back. We'll be back with a brand new episode. We have lots of tea, lots of stuff to catch up on. I mean, you know where you can find us on Spotify. You can listen to our podcast on Spotify, on Apple, everywhere podcasts are available. Go ahead, follow us on Instagram at Lunchbox Chats. I know we're on Facebook. Essie does this ending way better, but she will be back next week. Essie, I hope you're feeling better. And you chatters, I hope you have an amazing week. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who celebrated yesterday. You guys, we're almost at the official beginning of summer, my favorite season. Get excited. I hope you're planning your Memorial Day already. All right, chatters, it's all I got. Until next time, see ya.